Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. I've been waiting here anxiously to be able to talk to you and for you to be able to talk to us. I've got my special friend with me here.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Richard. Just in case you've forgotten.
I do forget a lot of things, but I didn't forget you. Anyway, my friends, if you get our email and on the email list, Richard, for those who are not familiar, how about telling people how they can get onto our email list so they know about these wonderful shows that we do?
Yes, you just go to our 2012 website, the 2012countdown.com, and enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any of the pages on that website.
Easy enough. And if you had done that, you would know that tonight is a very special night because Richard and I are going to talk about our experiences with connecting to any form of consciousness by using the magic and certainly one of our greatest gifts, perhaps, of working with the right side of the brain. And we're going to discuss that for part of the show. And then we're going to get into how one can read their past lifetimes. And so what we're putting out there tonight is I believe that all of us have lived many lifetimes, but there are perhaps one or two significant lifetimes that have a great impact on this particular lifetime that we're living. And we're going to work with an individual, someone who calls in from our audience, and work with them to find their most significant lifetime. And the method in which we use, I think you will find extraordinarily interesting. Right, Richard?
Indeed.
So, Richard and I have been working together for a long time, and personally myself, I've been doing this work, I don't know, I guess for maybe 5 or 6 years, and no, actually it's been longer than that, doesn't matter, but the point that I'm trying to make is, as we do this work and work with people, new doors open. We find new gifts that humanity has held but are not currently using. And we found in our work that, of course, all life has a consciousness. It might not be the kind of consciousness that we hold where we are reasoning, but it is a consciousness that we can connect to. We can, and this might seem strange, speak to the consciousness of trees, learn about their world, and we've learned much about the world of trees, of fruit, of animals, and we can do this because we are using our mind. And when Richard and I started working with this, I got to thinking about some of the ancients. For instance, there has been a great interest in some of the artwork that has come from the Middle Ages and before, actually going back to what we would consider paganism, where there was the green man of the forest, and there was stories of oak trees, how different cultures from what we would call the pagan world actually worked with oak trees. And so what we're talking about, using the right side of the brain, is something that humanity has been aware of for many, many years, except in today's age, we haven't taken it seriously. And so, Richard, if you were going to give some information about consciousness, connecting to other consciousness, how would you explain it to people so our listeners could understand or have some insight as to what we're talking about?
Yes, Firstly, I think most people are aware that the brain is separated into two hemispheres, the left and the right. The left being focused on the logical, the analytical, the rational, the judgmental, and so on. And it's that side of the brain that we've been strongly encouraged to use. If you look at the nature of our schooling and many other things, we are encouraged into the right side, the left side of the brain. And the right side of the brain is the side where our intuitive skills are, our creative skills. It's where wisdom comes forth. And it's where we hear communication from other forms of consciousness in the right side of the brain. I mentioned that we've been encouraged into the left side of the brain, and what's interesting is that this has led to essentially the left side of the brain being in charge of the show, you might say. And if we wind the clock back to before the fall in Atlantis some 13,000 or so years ago, the left brain were, firstly, the two hemispheres were much more closely connected, and secondly, the left brain was very much more the servant than the master that it's been encouraged to be in these times. And again, you know, to me, it's an example of how our experience of ourselves, our understanding of our consciousness, if you will, has been so distorted to take us away from the truth of who and what we are. And part of what will happen through the ascension process as it unfolds is that the similar kind of balance that existed before the fall in Atlantis will in fact return. And so the other thing I would say is that there are many, many ways that we've been discouraged from opening up these right brain skills. I mentioned some of them. And of course, you are probably aware that the Catholic Church taught that, you know, channeling was of the devil, which of course discourages any of us from connecting with these kind of skills and abilities. And once more, I would say it's part of the attempts that have been made to limit these skills and abilities. And that attitude, that distrust is alive and well today, as most of you would recognize. And it's part of what makes it difficult for most of us to begin to open up these skills. And so in order to hear the response from another form of consciousness, the place where you need to stand is as what I would describe the observer, to just watch the answer come forth if you've asked a question of a form of consciousness. And in order to connect with another form of consciousness, whether it be a tree or a crystal or an animal or whatever it is, a being on the other side, you simply call it forth and you choose to connect with it. Could be the consciousness of your physical body, which is quite an extraordinary story in itself, or it could be your higher self or whatever form of consciousness that you choose, anywhere in creation and beyond. And so you choose what consciousness you wish to connect to, and I think that's important because then you're in control of what you're communicating with. And as I say, you stand as the observer, not questioning, not judging, not analyzing, because of course all of that stuff is left brain stuff. And as you ask the question, the answer will come forth almost like the first thought that you have. It's not like you hear this voice inside your head. It's more like, as I say, that first thought that you have. And as you practice it, you begin to trust the truth of what comes forth in that way. And as all of you have heard me express, if you've listened to these shows, you can, if you're connecting with a being, or indeed it doesn't even have to be a being, if you connect with a tree, for example, you can feel the energy of the consciousness of that tree along with hearing what it wishes to communicate to you. And so it's like, as I say, the first thought that comes forth. And it is a matter of developing a trust of that and then speaking that as it comes forth. So that in simple terms is the experience of connecting through the right side of the brain to other forms of consciousness.
Thank you, Richard. I would say that we got started on this path. We were doing a soul healing session, Richard and I, and someone was talking about aspen trees, watching their brother and sister aspen trees fall asleep for the winter. And they were communicating that with the individual that we were working with, and I was intrigued by that. And so we have a little park not too far from where I live, and there's a lot of trees there, old trees that have been there for some time. And we went down to the park and decided that we were going to try to connect with one of the trees. And that was quite an experience. Richard, do you want to add something to that about the first time that we connected with this tree? Or do you want me to do it?
No, I think you do it beautifully. I'm happy to let you continue on.
Thank you. I was standing on a bridge looking at these trees. We have a stream of water that goes under the bridge, of course. And this particular tree was leaning over the stream. Wasn't straight, wasn't tall, but kind of deformed. And it attracted my attention because of its deformity. And as I tried to connect to the tree started talking about how it wasn't as beautiful as the other trees. And I remember the first couple conversations, the tree talked about its age, how long it had been there, and how it enjoyed observing the mothers coming to the park with their children, and how the tree observed people in general, and how it learned from that. And so I started asking questions about the nature of the area before now, and it went back quite a few years, talked about the weather, talked about how the area changed, talked about the farming communities that were there originally, talked about how much wetter the earth was in that area, how it had dried out some. Trees were cut and the land dried out. Talked about farming. Talked about the crystals that were underneath of the tree and the knowledge that the crystals had. And so we went through this dialogue. Richard and I went through this dialogue with this tree through many sessions. We would go down to the park, talk to the tree, and then I found that I can talk to the tree from my home. I could just, we had made this relationship, and I could talk to the tree as I'm being distracted because the tree's trying to talk to me now. Wants to say something. I don't know, Richard. Do you want to take the message?
You'd prefer me to do it?
Well, I'm kind of holding the space here.
All right, let's see what it has to say. It's saying, I am now waking up. If you come down and visit me, you will see the first shoots beginning to appear as I awaken for the spring. I have been a little slow in awakening because I stayed awake a little longer than I was meant to keep my conversation going with the two of you. And so I slept a little longer, but I'm now beginning to awaken, and I would welcome you coming down to visit me, and I appreciate you sharing your dialogue with me with those who are listening to your radio show. And so I shall leave you to your show, but I wanted to say hello to everyone. So there you go.
Thank you, Richard. What I want to say about this is that it opens such doors, because once you start doing this, you realize that there is life all around you that you knew was alive on some level, but you didn't know that it had a consciousness and that it could share information with you. After we learned the joy of doing this, I started to try it with fruit. I order some fruit from California, from Oregon, and I had these most magnificent oranges and apples, and I would take an orange in my hand, and I started to connect to the orange, and I started questioning. I wanted to understand that part of life that this orange experienced and what it was aware of. And so the orange talked about, we had this conversation about the tree that it grew on, about how the tree, as the oranges were forming, taught the orange its destiny. And so it looked at what it was doing as, you might call it, a mission or destiny. It talked about how the tree explained to the oranges that they would grow and be shipped to people and help with their nourishment, with their growth. And the orange was perfectly willing for me to consume it. It was its destiny, and it understood this. And, I mean, it was, these things don't come into your mind unless you open yourself up to it and want to do this. In other words, if you have no desire to do this, they're not going to start speaking to you. It's only when we pay attention and listen with faith and understanding and knowledge that, yes, indeed, we can communicate with other sources around us, things start opening. If you have a pet, you might understand this. Some people understand the wants and the desires of the pet that they have, a dog, a cat, and they have learned how to tune into their pets. Well, this is very similar to that. Understanding that everything has knowledge. It has knowledge of some level on where it sits in evolution, where it sits in the organization of our planet. And once you start opening yourself up to this, if you desire to do this, you start to learn a whole lot about how the Earth is organized. And just think about that. You know, we can open up our science books and learn about things, or we could, and I'm not saying that that's not important, but we can actually speak directly to that life. I remember being in a place where there were white horses. This was in France, in the Cambrouge. And there was a mare penned up with the stallions. Well, there was a stallion and his mares. And I spoke to them. And I guess he got tired of it, maybe was suspicious of who I was, and he gathered up his mares and took them away. I just thought that was so funny. He didn't want to communicate with me anymore. So I give that example as it is a beautiful thing. And Richard, do you have anything more to say about this?
Well, one of the stories that comes to mind from this, Carolyn, was some of the work that we've done with crystals. Mm. Like anything else, the crystal has a consciousness. But what's interesting is that any crystal, when you connect with it, is able to share with you the history of the planet in all its detail. And so there is this saying that the history is the version of events, if you like, recorded by the victor. And with time, all that will wash away as people reconnect with the true history of the planet through crystals. And in part of our work along the way, we have worked with a woman in the UK who does teaches courses on crystals and working with crystals and communicating with them and so on. And we were exchanging these emails, and she has this quite large crystal with the name of Noros that she has in fact been the guardian of, if you will, over more than one lifetime. And we opened up this conversation with Noros. She shared with us that Noros was wanting to connect with us. It was quite fascinating how all this unfolded. So it's just amazing the things you can get into with these. As you begin to open these doors, it takes you places you could never imagine.
Yes, and it opens up a thought about, in a sense, you're in the now and time and space doesn't exist.
Indeed. I mean, another story I mentioned was just you this morning watching the little birds making their nests in the cherry tree outside the front window, and you were talking to the tree as it was beginning to wake up.
Yeah, and what the conversation was, the tree enjoyed the birds coming and making nests in it. And what you tap into is this joy that is held by the different consciousness that is located on the planet. It is this beautiful joy that you pick up from life, how we're all interconnected and how we can communicate with each other. And it opens up your heart to a whole new world. I'm going to take Mary from Ohio on line one. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, Richard. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Mary.
If I may, can I kind of go off the subject a little bit? I wanted to ask a question about ascension. My question is, we have a monad, and we have different aspects. Okay, so I'm an aspect of a monad, right? If I ascend in this lifetime, do all the aspects also ascend at the same time?
Now, are you talking about aspects that are living in on Earth presently, or the aspects that have lived in the past? Because actually, we can have, and I'm not saying that you have this, but we could have, it's possible to have several aspects living at one time on Earth. So
yeah,
which aspects are you talking about? The past, the past life aspects, or ones that are living here with you presently?
The ones that are living now, presently.
Richard, I sent you one to say something about this, did you?
Oh, well, I thought you were doing a great job, but if you want me to say something about it, I will.
Yeah, I want you to.
Yeah, there are a few threads to this question, Mary. The first one, to take the aspect that you've raised, which is, no pun intended, those aspects which are also incarnate at this time, they are all walking their own paths, and so they will all choose whether or not they choose to participate in ascension or not. So your choice will not, if you like, be imposed upon them. They will all independently make their own choice. Looking at, on a broader level, the ascension of planet Earth at the March 2013 equinox triggers an ascension across all consciousness, all consciousness within the cosmos. It triggers an ascension for all beings within the cosmos. And so in that sense, all of your past life expressions will experience a shift in consciousness also.
But I'd like to add to that, since the aspects that are living this lifetime presently come from the same monad, I think you're going to find that they will be encouraged or influenced to make that choice. Wouldn't you say so, Richard, that it makes that choice of ascension more probable among the different aspects, though they will walk their separate path?
I would think so, yes.
Okay, so is it possible, like, for my other aspects, my past aspects, to influence me at this time to ascend? Is it reversible?
Well, you know what I mean? We can communicate with our past aspects because I've done that. I have a lot of memories of my past lifetimes, and I'm familiar with my different aspects, and I have communicated with them. So in that sense, if you're communicating with them, yes, they're going to be influencing you. They're going to be aware of it, but I don't think that's so important as you making up your own mind and your own decisions. But like you said, perhaps they're helping you. They're acting as a helpmate to point you towards ascension if you're not thinking of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely am thinking of it. I just
was curious. I figured
about
you
that
were. Thank you, Mary, for an interesting
Thank
question.
You.
Now,
Thank
Gail
you.
From Wisconsin is online too.
Gail.
This is Gail. Hi, Gail.
We're both of you. I hope well. I'm kind of raspy today. I've been having some issues since these energies started with my throat, so bear with me.
Of course.
I was wondering if you could connect me with a past life that's pretty much been impacting my life now. I remember bits and pieces of some of my past lives, but very little, and it drives me nuts. Because I know
Mary,
they tell me...
I really would like to do that, but we're kind of getting ahead of the story because before we do that demonstration, I want to explain what these past lives look like so that when people choose to work with this on their own, they've got something to work with. You can do one of two things, Gail. You can either hold on until we get to that part of the show or else you can call back, whatever you wish to do.
I would love to, Carolyn. I would love to.
Okay. We're hearing a little bit of clipping of my words, so I want to talk to somebody at BBS Radio. Check that out. What's going on? Is that going out to the people with clipping like I'm hearing?
I would suspect it is. It's coming back to us in this way.
I think it stopped. No, it isn't.
Okay, let's keep moving along.
All right, so we have Kenneth from San Francisco is on line 3. Kenneth?
Yes, hi.
What can we do for you, Kenneth?
Well, first of all, I really wanted to thank you for the karma command healings that that I had 2 weeks ago. It was a really honor. And so today I just have two questions that I wanted to ask. The first question is, during the process of ascension, would the right brain and the left brain, are they going to be rewired and kind of balance which they connect together so that it'll make a lot easier for people that wanted to develop their right brain?
Well, we're going to say yes to that, but I'm going to turn it over to Richard because I think he could expound on it in a great way.
Okay.
Sorry, I was a bit distracted by this echoing effect. I was trying to sort it out with BBS. Could you ask the question quickly again for me?
Okay. The question is, during the starting of the ascension process or either after the ascension process, since our body is going to be rewired, is the left and the right brains will be balanced out so that people who wanted to use the right brain would be a lot easier?
Yes, as I said earlier, part of the ascension process is the reconnection of the two hemispheres and a return to the previous balance. So, yes, that's very much part of what is planned, but also part of what we will be seeking to teach more widely as this work moves forward is to teach people how to how to go about this process so that people begin to reawaken this ability now, because most people have sufficient trust in themselves to do this. And the work that we've done in our soul healing sessions and so on has put this into the grid system. So it's a lot easier for people to do this now than it was even a year ago. And also the energies have shifted on the planet. So that's made it a lot better.
I think that's a very important point, Richard, about the work that we have done goes into the grid system. And it's not just our work that goes into the grid system, but other people's too.
Yes.
So, does that answer your question, Kenneth?
Yes, that does. And my last question is, when we're actually trying to use the right brain, is it part of the process where we all have to learn to really quiet down our minds in order to access the right brain? Because that is something that I have been trying to do, but quieting down the little chat is like the hardest thing.
Richard's got a good story about that, because I don't really think that's part of what we're talking about. Richard, talk about the chatter and the quieting.
Yeah, it's one of the things that really frustrates me is that so many people have been taught that if you're going to meditate properly, you have to silence the brain. And well, I tell you, if that were a measure of success in meditation, then I would be an abject failure, because I have never been able to quieten my mind. And, you know, maybe if you entered an ashram at the age of 12 in India, you know, with a yogi master or something in that very different culture, then perhaps you can achieve this. But, you know, it's really not a requirement for anything, in my view.
Okay.
It's not a requirement for meditation, and it's not a requirement for this either. It's simply standing as the observer and watching and listening. So it's directing your focus. It's directing your focus. And when you're directing your focus in that way, you know, in a sense the chatter goes away, because the chatter is just whatever thought has come up. And you see, in my view, getting back to the meditation subject, for me, effective meditation is choosing what you put your focus on. You know, yes, it's about going within, but maybe it's to focus on some clearing work. Maybe it's to, you know, conduct some sort of inquiry within yourself. Maybe it's, you know, it could be any number of things, connecting to another form of consciousness in the way we're talking about here. Maybe it's to just feel within your body and feel what the energies are doing. Maybe there's some intense energy in a particular area of your body, or some kind of discomfort that you want to ask what it's about. You know, there's a thousand things. Or maybe it's just to relax and enjoy the moment and let the mind go wherever it wants to go.
And I'd like to add something to that, Richard. We start out by using the right side of the brain to connect. And then after we get an answer, you might have a question to further that answer. And when you do that, you ask your question, you're then in the left side of the brain. And then when you ask that question and you're going to listen for the answer, you revert back to the right side of the brain. So it's very subtle, but when we work with people, they start to be able to pick up when they're in the right side of the brain and when they're in the left side of the brain, because you're using both. So quieting the brain is not going to do what we're looking for. We want to be able to connect to the consciousness. We want to be able to ask the question. We want to be able to hear the answer. And so you're moving into both sides of the brain.
Okay.
Well, okay. Thank you for your question. We'd like to move on as we have others on the line. And we now have Joy from Canada is on line one.
Hello.
Joy. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thank you, Richard, for taking my question.
Yes.
I wanted to connect with, I think it was Atlan from Atlantis.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
I have very strong, very vivid visions of Lemuria, Atlantis, and Egypt, it seems, where I seem to be channeling before crowds of people. I can see myself doing it, but I can't hear what I'm saying. And I can see children learning how to use their minds to bring this little ball back and forth. I think it's just exercises. And working with crystals, so I was fascinated as to maybe what you could tell me.
Richard, do you have any thoughts as to how she could connect with Atlan? Any advice?
Well, I assume she's asking me to call forth Atlan. I think that's what she's got in mind here.
You think?
Please?
I do. Let me see if Atlan wants to come and play. Yes, he's here. And do you have a response for Joy? Yes. He's saying Joy is one that has been a teacher in many times. She is one that has come forth as a teacher and healer on many occasions. And in this lifetime, she is one of those that has come forth to bring forth the commands, because she is part of the cherubim group that come forth each time. And indeed, it, of course, has been as part of those groups that she has come in the past. And so that is her connection.
Thank you for that, Atlan. Can you, I do have a request for you, Atlan. Can you move closer to Joy? And Joy, I want you to envision the face of Atlan as you recall it from those early days. And I want you to concentrate on his face. And I've asked Atlan to move closer to you. Can you feel his energy?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a question for Atlan?
I just wanted to ask Atlan if I indeed brought in modalities by channeling them, and if I will be able to do so again.
Okay, now I want you to concentrate on Atlan and observe him. You've asked the question. Listen for his answer. As Richard said, it's not going to sound like a voice. It's going to be your first thought. It's going to come through intuition. And tell me if you have received an answer from Atlan about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was it?
I got, yes, dear one, you will do so again.
See how easy that was? So, you've learned something here, and work with it tonight. Atlan, I want to thank you for coming closer to Joy, and work with them tonight.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
It was, wasn't it? So we have to move on to the next aspect of our show, and that is past lifetimes. And I want all of you to envision something. Think of your life, not this one now, but the one right before this one, as having a beginning and having an end. And the beginning and end comes together, and all of your many deeds that came between the beginning and the end form a circle. So when you look at a past lifetime, it's a circle. The beginning, and this is how I see it. And as I work with people, they see it also. So the life has a beginning and end, the middle, and the beginning and end joined together. And upon death, it's or crossing over, it is like these two ends come together. So in the current lifetime, you've got a beginning. You're still working with experiences, and you haven't gotten to the end yet, so it's not in a circle. Now, if we think of the life before that, it's a circle also, but it is sitting on top of that circle so that we've got two circles. And if you think of all of your past lifetimes, there is circles sitting on top of circles. And envision this. If you stand at the very bottom of all of these circles, and these circles are above you, and you look up, it almost looks like a tunnel. And you are beneath that tunnel, and all of your lifetimes are above you, forming this tunnel. You are part of your soul. You are a finger that has been put down into consciousness, and your soul is willing to be of assistance to you. Your soul understands your journey. Your soul understands the lifetimes that you have gained and the lifetimes where you have lost. And perhaps the most important lifetime to an individual, you're not quite sure what it is, whether you gained that lifetime, whether you lost that lifetime, but your soul knows what is of assistance to you. It knows what might need to be cleared. It knows when you have been successful, when what you can learn from, how you can learn from that success. There might be something from a successful lifetime where you had a skill that, if you remembered that lifetime, the skill might come through that you can use today. And so the soul understands this. So we mentioned that we would work with Gail from Wisconsin. And I want to connect with Gail on line two. Gail, are you still there? Don't hear from Gail. She might have given up. Are you there, Gail?
No, I'm here. Yes, I am. We got disconnected.
I was ready to move on, dear. I didn't hear from you. So if I gave that description of the lifetimes, were you following me?
Okay.
I said, were you following me when I discussed the
different
lifetimes?
Yes, I was trying to listen online while I was disconnected. Okay, so yeah.
Each lifetime is a circle. And if you imagine each lifetime as a circle, one sits on top of each other in sequence, so that the most recent lifetime is the first circle above your head, and the lifetime before that sits on top of that, and so forth. And so you've lived many lifetimes, and it forms, if you look up at all those circles, it looks like a tunnel. Can you see that? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine yourself standing at the bottom of that tunnel and those circles sitting on top of one another? Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Good. Now, you don't have to say this out loud, but what you want to do is ask your soul if there is a particular lifetime that is important for you to understand. Just as Richard said, be the observer. What information are you picking up from your soul? Is there one that could be of assistance to you?
Yes, first, they're pointing out one specific lifetime.
Okay, that's good. Now, what I want you to do is just imagine that you are floating up to that circle. You're going through the tunnel, and your soul will stop you at that particular lifetime. Let me know if you're moving up the tunnel. Are you moving up the tunnel?
Yes, I am.
Have you stopped at any particular lifetime?
I have stopped.
Now, what you do is just imagine that you are stepping out of the tunnel, that you're putting a foot out of the tunnel, and you're stepping into that lifetime where the soul has stopped you. Or have you done that?
Yes.
Good. Now, I want you to look at your shoes as you step out of that tunnel and describe for me what your shoes look like.
They're like sandals.
That's good.
But a very, nothing like today's, that's for sure.
Is there something there that's unusual?
Well, it's just, they're not, it's like a thong kind of thing, but without all the goodies that we get now.
Right. Now, just look up the body and tell me how you're dressed.
Robes of silks, kind of. Well, yeah, it's kind of like a robe, and then I'm wearing a shawl over my head.
Mm. Have you noticed the colors?
Almost like a goldish brown.
Sounds beautiful. Like maybe you were wealthy.
I don't know. That's not exactly my favorite color, but that's okay.
It was then, darling.
Oh, that's funny.
The eyes that were available. Now, I want you, that you're standing. Are you a male? It sounds like you might be a female. You're male or female?
Yes. Yeah.
Male. Female.
Female. Mm-hmm.
Now, just look beyond yourself at your surroundings and tell me what it looks like. Where are you standing?
In the middle of a city that is of stone. A lot of dirt. A lot of dirt and a lot of people.
Are there any people who are coming towards you that you're making notice of?
People are walking everywhere with baskets. Looks like they're doing everyday business.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Isn't this exciting?
Well, it is kind of different, that's for sure.
Yeah. So tell me, where do you think you might be? What is the city that you're looking down upon? Sometimes
well,
names.
I would assume it would somewhere in the Middle East.
In the Middle East.
Yeah, because I mean it's stone building. I really don't.
It's okay. It's okay because names are hard to get sometimes.
Right.
So there's no one in particular that is coming up to you to speak, to communicate. Is there something of interest in this city that is intriguing to you? Something caught your...
Yes. Yes.
And what
Someone.
Is that?
And I believe I am walking with the... Yes, that's what I'm seeing. And there's a
You're
group
walking
of people...
with who?
With a bunch of the apostles, I believe...
Ah, so you're working with the apostles. Do you know where you're going?
At this point, no.
But you're definitely walking with the apostles, and you're a female.
Right.
Do you have a
right.
sense of, you don't have a sense yet of where you're walking. Do you have a sense of perhaps who you are? Do they speak to you and use a name?
Not at this point, no. My mind is very going okay, so that might be part of it.
And relax. Just take a couple breaths and relax. Because this is important. Your soul wants you to know about this lifetime. There is something about this lifetime that is impacting you at this lifetime. And your soul wants you to know. So quietly ask your soul, what is it about this lifetime that's of benefit to you?
Actually, I believe they're trying to tell me that something in the teachings that Christ was teaching back then is going to help me with now.
Ah. Well, I tell you where we are. We have to close the show soon. So here's what I'm going to suggest that you do. Send Richard an email with your telephone number, and I will contact you, and we will finish this.
Awesome. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, because we're at the end now, and we really can't go further. So you send Richard an email. Richard, what email should she send this to, dear?
She can send it to Richard at the 2012countdown.net.
Richard at 2012countdown.net. Shall do, and I thank you so much, both.
You're welcome, yes. And so what we have demonstrated today, my dear friends, Richard and myself, with these two gifts that we have, and I hope you look into it and work with it because it's extremely powerful. And I am interested in finding out myself what this teaching of Yeshua was that would be beneficial to Gail now. And so, Richard, do you have anything else to add to this?
No, I don't think so. I think Gail was unfolding that beautifully, her ability to understand and to connect with that lifetime was a beautiful illustration of how this can unfold. And also it was a beautiful illustration of how you set up the context of people to do this. It was, I think it was delightful to sit and listen to, I have to say.
Thank you, Richard. I will say that in guiding these, it's important to use the right questions. And for some reason, I'm able to set up those questions for people. So I'm very happy for Gail. And Richard, as we leave, perhaps one more time, you can suggest to people how to get our information, our emails, our other ways that we contact them.
Surely. The way to join our newsletter, our website, is to go to the 2012countdown.com and enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any of the pages on that website.
Well,
and
my
while
friend,
you're there, you might check out the information that's on the site.
Indeed. My friends, I have been, Richard and I have been so delighted in being here today to open up new vistas, open up new doors for you. The work that we do with people is extremely exciting to us and, as you can see, very helpful to the people that we work with. And so, this is Carolyn Evers and
Richard Presser
saying good night for this particular Saturday show. Got it right, Richard.
You did.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, everyone.